Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. A man who has served with great distinction in several different capacities, really, in that war, including protecting the commander-in-chief as part of the elite Presidential Protective Division of the U.S. Secret Service. Prior to that, serving in the nation's, vastly superb local law enforcement agency, the New York Police Department, and also now in public life, both as a candidate in the past for high office and also as a commentator and pundit and best-selling author now of two books. The first, Life Inside the Bubble: Why a Top-Ranked Secret Service Agent Walked Away from It All, and most recently, The Fight, a Secret Service agent's inside account of security failings and the political machine. He is, of course, Dan Bongino. Dan, welcome. It's good to have you with us, sir. Happy New Year to you.
Hey, Happy New Year to you too, Frank. Great to be here.
Thank you. Well, I'm fond of saying that is a prognosis, no, but a wish, yes. And I'm hoping that it will turn out to be a wish fulfilled. But it's a little happier just by virtue of having a chance to talk with you. Listen, let me talk about the NYPD with you for a minute. As a veteran of that extraordinary force, what did you make, Dan, of what Mayor Bill de Blasio and the ACLU came up with in terms of this settlement on a suit that what I think of as sort of the red-green axis, the left and the Islamists, brought against the department for its surveillance of Muslim activities and installations?
Well, let's be clear on one thing first, Frank. That policy that de Blasio, the far left-leaning mayor of New York City, is pushing down the rank and file, down to the rank and file through the management chain, will unquestionably, if this is not impeachable, will put New Yorkers in direct danger of a potential terrorist attack. And here's why, because I don't like hyperbole or exaggeration for effect. You know, I was a cop. There is nothing illegal about surveillance where there's no expectation of privacy, Frank. In other words, if you're going to have an open religious ceremony that's open to the general public, there's nothing at all illegal about a law enforcement officer, if there's some allegation of impropriety there or incitement to violence, nothing illegal whatsoever about a law enforcement officer sitting in that religious institution and listening to what's going on. You know, Frank, a news flash for a lot of the folks out there on the left. Law enforcement doesn't like to waste time, okay? If they go in a mosque and they sit there for two or three services or whatever it may be, and nothing's going on of any law enforcement interest whatsoever, here's what they do. They leave. But if an allegation comes in that there is some Islamic fanatic preaching, you know, the death to America from the pulpit of a mosque, then this is the kind of thing you would think law enforcement would be interested in. And one other point on this to show you how absurd this is.
Well, more to the point, Dan, you'd think that the public would demand that kind of monitoring because obviously that's a place where that violence can be precipitated.
Right, because the public are ultimately the ones who are going to be subjected, if we fail to intercept these attacks, to a small arms tactical assault, soft target attack like we saw in San Bernardino. You know, Frank, you know, I have daughters. I mean, people have kids, they have moms, they have dads, they have family members. The idea that a shopping mall in America has become a war zone due to the sick thinking of a group of radicals inspired by their form of Islam is really disturbing to a lot of people. They're not really interested in the political sensitivities. And just to show you how this is all political, this has nothing to do with reality. You and I both know, Frank, if you were to replace Islam with Christianity, and there were allegations that a Christian, largely, white church somewhere down south was preaching the takedown of the United States government, the left would have zero problem in the ACLU with putting someone in that church, and rightfully so, by the way, and listening to what's going on and saying, hey, we have a problem here. These people are preaching attacks on government facilities. But the fact that it's a protected group by President Obama, all rationality goes out the window. And yes, this is going to cause a direct threat to the citizens of New York City and all over the United States if we continue this nonsense. And I want to be clear on something, because we share a mutual friend in Tom Fitton at Judicial Watch, and he says all the time, Tom always says, you know, the process is the punishment for the left. Now, the Islamic radicals who are trying to attack us and destroy our system of government, Frank, they understand that too. And they've leveraged, in effect, the constitutional republic and the processes in a representative democracy against its own citizens by using the legal process to sue us for trying to intercept a limited number of them, but very dangerous people amongst them who may be looking to do us harm. So I don't disagree that there's this large political component to this, and they understand the politics. And it's been very strategic and tactical on their part, and it's very dangerous to our safety. So
it is indeed, and that's the thing I wanted to get at is it may seem less dangerous because it's stealthy rather than violent, but it is every bit as toxic to a society like ours. Dan, I do want to talk about one other thing with you, and that is Hillary Clinton's emails. You have been involved in protecting the president of the United States. You have a very highly tuned appreciation of the sensitivity of classified information and what its compromise can mean for the security of the people you protect or for that matter, the rest of us. Could you give us your professional assessment of what we now know about what Hillary was doing, what her aides were doing, what she was telling her aides to do with respect to some of the nation's most sensitive information, apparently, on her personal email server?
Yeah, I discuss this in the book in one of the final chapters. I think it's the penultimate chapter there. And I wanted to leave the reader with an idea of just how damaging this is, Frank. We're talking about a woman here in Hillary Clinton who a source fed this to me, and I stewed on this for a long time before I decided to write about it. I was very careful and very deliberate in the words I used because, again, hyperbole does us no favors here. But an unimpeachable source, a firsthand source, who told me that the Clintons knew this server was compromised by some very dangerous people who were reading the emails as they were being sourced through that server. She knew it, and she continued to do it. So now we have a woman running to be commander-in-chief, Frank, who put special access program information, the highest level of classification, human intelligence, human sources, potentially the identities of human sources in danger zones and hot zones around the world, on a server who could have literally, not figuratively, literally got someone killed doing it, who is now running to be the president of the United States. I mean, this to me is stunning that the Democratic Party, the JFK Democrats, the Truman Democrats, the Reagan Democrats,
the Stoop Jackson Democrats, yeah, like myself,
right, have not said to themselves, you know what, we can't do this. Frank, we don't have a vetting process in our in our party. I mean, look at all the Trump, Cruz, Rubio back and forth. We vet our people. I mean, when are the Democrats going to wake up and saying, this is a potential traitor to the United States government? We're talking about nominating for the presidency? This is completely outrageous.
Dan, again, knowing what you do, do you have any expectation that the FBI will fail to bring charges against her based on what you've said and what we know?
Well, as you and I both know, given our familiarity with the inner workings of the government, all the Bureau can do is recommend charge. They can't charge anyone. It's ultimately up to the Department of Justice. I mean, I fed cases to the Assistant United States Attorney intake officer in the Eastern District of New York when I was a federal agent a couple of times, and they said, listen, can't take it. We don't have any available prosecutors for it right now. I'm sorry. And they were great cases, and I brought them local. I can't imagine, though, given the sensitivities of this, and from what I'm hearing from people, the open and shut nature of this case, I can't imagine DOJ is going to punt. There's going to be a mutiny. Comey is a decent guy with a great reputation, and I just don't think he can have that. His